So I'm Sue Pedruzzani. I work for RTI International in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. RTI is a not-for-profit research organization. We do all kinds of research. My background is in public health, and for most of my career at RTI, I manage large-scale data collection opportunities. So this morning I'm going to be talking about how we improved coverage using an address-based sample frame on the National Children's Study in Los Angeles County. I have no relationships to disclose, and I think it's important to note that the work that I'm going to be summarizing this morning is work that was done under a contract for the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, where RTI was a subcontractor with UCLA. So what we're going to be covering is I'm going to tell you a little bit about the National Children's Study for any of you who may not have heard about the National Children's Study, spend a little time talking about what address-based sampling is, talk about how we on the National Children's Study decided to improve the coverage of our ABS frame, which is our procedure that we call CHUM, Checked for Housing Units Missed. I'm going to talk about the results of our CHUM on the National Children's Study in Los Angeles, and then provide some comments and feedback about things to consider if you wanted to use an address-based sampling frame on one of your studies. This is my big disclaimer of the morning. I am not a statistician, even though this is a statistical session. As you heard, my background is in data collection. I'm very much an operational person. The very smart statistician who worked with us on this project is a co-author on this presentation. His information is at the end of the slide presentation, and I'm sure he would be happy to answer any questions you may have about very statistical details that I will not be able to answer this morning. All right. So for those of you who are not familiar with the National Children's Study, I have been affiliated with the National Children's Study going back about 10, 12 years now. It's very near and dear to my heart. It is a multi-year research study where we're trying to enroll pregnant women or women who are trying to become pregnant, and we're examining the effects of the environment on health and development of children from the time of birth or even before birth through the age of 21 years of age, so a very big endeavor. LA County was just one of 40 pilot sites. The work that I'm going to be talking about is relative to a pilot study of the National Children's Study. We were one of 40 pilot locations. The pilot study is also referred to as the Vanguard study for the National Children's Study. And the idea behind the pilot is to evaluate the feasibility, acceptability, and cost of several different recruitment strategies, as well as study procedures and outcome assessments, really to inform the main study, which we still hope will happen. And right now, it's slated to begin in 2014, we hope. In LA County, after the women were enrolled, they were interviewed by phone and in person. And while LA County did not participate in biospecimen and environmental sampling, many of the other 40 locations did. And I will also say again that what I'm going to be talking about relative to our sampling frame this morning is solely and only related to the pilot. They have a very different idea for how they're going to do the sampling for the upcoming main study. So address-based sampling. So for LA County, as we were thinking about how we were going to develop the frame, the National Children's Study has a very prescribed multi-stage sampling process. And so I'm jumping ahead several stages to talk about how we got to the address level. But prior to that, there were counties all across the United States that were chosen, and then PSUs were chosen, and then segments within those PSUs were chosen. What I'm going to talk about relative to the address-based sampling is how we got down to the actual addresses. And so for LA County, we decided to purchase a commercial list of addresses from a third-party vendor, and these addresses come from the United States Postal Service computerized delivery sequence file, and it's just what you would think. It is a list of addresses that we purchased based on the segments that were selected in LA County. So very specific to our selected segments in LA County. And so we chose this method in LA County for a number of reasons. Number one, cost. It's a less expensive model than what you might traditionally know as field enumeration or counting and listing, where you send staff out into your segments and they walk around the blocks and they write down every single address that they see or walk by, and then that becomes the frame from which you select your addresses. Obviously very expensive, certainly very expensive in LA County. We also had a limited amount of time, and so time and cost really is what drove us. That and previous research has shown that with an ABS frame, you can get about 85% coverage, and it's certainly much better in urban areas and major metropolitan areas like LA, again, so it's why we went with an ABS frame. And so just thinking about using the ABS frame, when we talk about household coverage, what do we mean by household coverage? What we're really talking about is how well that address frame represents the actual households in our segments or in the population that we're studying. So we paid a couple thousand dollars to get a list of addresses is basically how we formed our frame. So you heard me on the previous slide mention that at least for most areas in the nation, we can get about 85% coverage when we go with an ABS frame. So what are some of the reasons for that gap between the 85 and the 100%? So some of them are rather obvious. There's post office boxes, other non-locatable addresses. From the time the list was put together, there could be, you know, new housing developments, new construction, demolition of houses. There could also be geocoding error. So that's not a perfect system. It's not a perfect database. So when the addresses are assigned to a geographic area, that's certainly open to error at times. So obviously when we're putting together a frame, we're always striving to get as close to 100% coverage as we possibly can get in our area. And so what RTI has come up with as an answer to that is what we now affectionately call CHUM, Checked for Housing Units Missed. And so this is really what I want to focus on in terms of this procedure and how we implemented this in the field in LA County. And so what is CHUM? So CHUM is a series of field protocols, and by field I mean you have to do it in person. You have to be out there in your segments. You can't do it sitting in your house looking at Google Maps. You have to actually go out into the community. So it's field protocols used to systematically identify dwelling units, housing units, addresses missing from that ABS frame or the listing that we purchased from that commercial vendor. And the key here is with known probability. This is very similar for those of you that are familiar with field enumeration or counting and listing. There is a very prescribed, consistent protocol that has to be followed by the field staff that are trained to go out and to do this. There's a very well-established path of travel. You can't just walk around the neighborhoods or the segments any way you want. They have to go in a certain direction in each of the segments. The CHUM methodology also assumes that the areas or the segments are based on census geography. and that segment maps are available and can be produced for use in the field by your staff, and that there is, and it also assumes that there is a complete ABS frame for the area in which you're studying. So you have to be able to get the listing from the third-party commercial vendor. Skip ahead. So there are two components of CHUM, what we call CHUM 1 and CHUM 2. So in the first part, in CHUM 1, what we're aiming to do is your field staff person starts at an address that is on the ABS frame, so on the listing, and follows a predetermined path walking to the left, until they either reach an address that is on the frame or they return to their starting point. And I'm going to show an example of a map so that all will make sense. And so this allows for coverage of dwelling units or housing units that are not on the ABS list but are in the same block as a house that is on the list. So that's CHUM 1. So in CHUM 1, we're looking for missed units. In CHUM 2, we're looking for missed blocks. So because CHUM 1 is restricted to the blocks associated with a sampled address, dwelling units in blocks with no addresses on the frame are totally missed. And so that's the point of CHUM 2. We're looking for totally missed blocks in the frame. So in CHUM 2, we're following the same predetermined path of travel, starting at a starting point, not at an address that was randomly selected, and then the staff follows that path of travel, stopping either when they list an address that's on the ABS frame or they get back to their starting point. So CHUM 2 enables coverage of dwelling units that are in blocks that were not on the ABS frame. I'm sure that's clear as mud to all of you, right? So let's go back and I'll talk about an example. So on this map, if you think about CHUM 1, if you're looking at the houses that are on that map on Indiana Avenue and 17th Street, if you're a field interviewer or a field staff person out in the field, and this was one of your assignments, and you have your listing of addresses, and let's just say in the first example, your starting point for CHUM 1 is house number 1 that's up there on the corner of Indiana and 17th. So you're following the predetermined path of travel, and as you're walking between house number 1 and house number 2, which would be the following your path of travel, you see that house there on the corner of 17th Street and Gatewood. That would be a new address that's not on the frame, and you would write that address down, and it would be added to the sample frame. Another example in CHUM 1, let's just say that your starting address was house number 2. Again, following the pre-described path of travel, as you're walking along the path, you find two new addresses in between house number 2 and house number 3. You would add both of those addresses so that they would be added to the sampling frame and have the same probability of being selected to be in your sample as house number 1 and house number 2. Yes, Pat?
How would the person pick that address? Is that random?
It's random. So when they get their maps and their assignments for their CHUM 1 in this segment, in this neighborhood, they would have a predetermined address at which they would start. So then moving on to CHUM 2, again, in CHUM 2, we're looking for missed blocks. And so in CHUM 2, you don't get an address as your starting point. You get a dot on a map or a star on a map, and that's your starting point. And then you follow the path of travel. So in the example here on the lower half of the slide, you see that where they're starting on the corner of Blackwater and 16th, following their path of travel, walking all the way back around to where they started, this would show that three new addresses are found, and then all three would be added to the frame. So, and I won't get into a lot of detail here, but obviously there are very, different housing arrangements. It's not just single family units in all of the areas in which we're doing this. And so there are very special rules that are applied to apartment buildings And so, because that's a little bit harder to follow the path of travel, like on a hallway or inside an apartment building. And so part of the CHUM procedures that were developed is to assign an alphanumeric sort to the apartments. And so that would be part of the protocol so that there are rules to follow as well for apartments. And so just like with any other procedure that you're training staff to do, the results and the outcome are only as good as the staff that you train to perform those. And so one of the things that we've built into our CHUM procedures is a quality control check. So how do you know that the staff are really doing what you train them to do? And so we've built in a quality control check. And so on the slide, this is just a review of CHUM 1 and CHUM 2. The new part is what's in red. And so we include seated addresses into their assignment. So we essentially set them up. We purposefully take out addresses so that, you know, we're trying to check that they actually find those addresses and add them to the frame as a way to check that they actually are following the appropriate protocol and the path of travel as a way, you know, to check and confirm that they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we essentially set them up. And so for our CHUM exercise in LA County for the National Children's Study due to NCS rounding, I can say we had about somewhere between 14 and 15,000 addresses in our sample. We, because of cost and time and some very and some of the power calculations with our very smart statistician that I mentioned earlier, we decided to select about 1,000 addresses for this CHUM procedure and 53 addresses for this quality control check. So there were 53 seated addresses, if you will. So for LA County, here are our results of CHUM 1 and CHUM 2. So as I said, about 1,000 addresses were involved or included in this CHUM exercise. The good news is that addresses were actually found and added. So we did improve the coverage of our ABS frame. The one thing to note is that we expect and we think that an apartment complex was geocoded incorrectly, which is the vast majority of those 173 addresses that were added in CHUM 1. And the really, really good news here is that out of the 53 seated addresses, our field staff found 50 of the 53. So they found over 94%, which is really, really good, which was an indication to us that our field staff actually were doing what they were trained to do and they were following protocols. And this is a really good outcome in terms of that quality control measure. So in summary, there's lots of different things that we really need to think about if you want to implement an address-based frame and use what RTI calls CHUM. Obviously, you need to think about appropriate and proper staff, how to train them. It's a lot of maps. If people haven't, you know, done field enumeration before, it's kind of a new concept to learn because it's a very prescribed path of travel. You need to provide adequate support for them when they're out in the field, if they can't find an address that they're supposed to be, you know, any kinds of questions, and you need to provide that support relative to, you know, the time zone in which they're working and those kinds of things. And certainly have to implement some really comprehensive monitoring, checking their paperwork as well as as well as the quality control when all that comes back in-house. Cost, time, staffing, geographic location are all things that you really need to think about. So we were able to do this in LA County because it was reasonable to purchase a commercially, you know, based list for LA County, very metropolitan area, the coverage was very good, a little bit harder to do in a rural area than you would really want to implement, probably, you know, even more on the CHUM side. So in combination, we certainly believe that CHUM 1 and CHUM 2 gives every address missing from the ABS frame a chance of actually coming into the sample, and that if the CHUM procedures are executed appropriately and correctly, every missed address in the population will have a known probability of being selected, which is what we're after to begin with. So there's the name and contact information of my very, very smart statistician. If you have any questions, I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you. And then also just some articles and references of some of our previous work and research that has been published on this topic. So thank you. Yes?
Uh-huh. Can you identify that area actually have lots of new housing development? If not, just sort of, no, you don't need to do that because it's too costly.
So I think, so doing the ABS frame in CHUM is certainly less expensive than total counting and listing or total field enumeration. And I think in order to decide how to do it, you really need to know something about your area and your segment. Certainly in LA County, because RTI was working with UCLA, they knew the neighborhoods in which we were going to be working and had a pretty good indication about new construction or whole housing developments or apartment complexes that had been demolished. So it's sort of, you have to weigh the pros and cons. Yes?
Not all of your ABS frames is examined for CHUM. You can't just go and walk around all that LA looking for housing.
Right.
So
if we had more time, I could certainly go into that. So the areas that are selected for CHUM, particularly for this, our statistician broke the segments up into different strata and randomly selected them. So I can't personally tell you all of the details, but there is some science and some, you know, statistical power behind how we got at our 1,000 addresses out of the full sample. Absolutely. Okay.